Tonight's show is dedicated to Zechanishmas Menucha Bas Osher Yecheskel. As the Yom Tov of Pesach approaches, I'd like to spend some time this evening discussing this upcoming Shabbos, Shabbos HaGadol, and hopefully there will be some time to discuss as well as some parts of the Haggadah, or maybe really an idea and a thought to how we should approach the Seder, how we should approach Magid this year. How should we be focusing on the mitzvah of Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim and overall the entire Leil HaSeder? We know that this Shabbos is known as Shabbos HaGadol. That's the term, although not necessarily described by that in Chazal, that's a term that has been adopted by the Rishonim. Most of the time we attribute it to Tosfos and Shabbos. We'll see in a few minutes, but this is a very popular name to this upcoming Shabbos known as Shabbos HaGadol. Not to be confused with the other Dalet Parashiyos, which we've spoken about in other times, Parashas Zachor, which is maybe Deraisa, Parashas Parah, which may be Deraisa. Shabbos HaGadol has no real halachic significance, so to say. There's no special Kriya Satayah for Shabbos HaGadol, although there is a special Haftayah, there's no special Kriya for it. It doesn't seem to carry too much of a halachic ramification. Nonetheless, the Shulchan Aruch has an entire siman. Simin Tov Lamed is devoted to Shabbos HaGadol, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, Shabbos Shlifnei HaPesach, Kairi Noite Shabbos HaGadol. The Shabbos before Pesach, this upcoming Shabbos, is called Shabbos HaGadol, the big Shabbos. Why? Bebnei HaNeis Shenaseh Boi, because of the miracle that took place on the Shabbos. The Shabbos has a special name, says the Shulchan Aruch. Halacha brought down Shulchan Aruch, a special name given to the Shabbos, we call it Shabbos HaGadol. What happened on this Shabbos in history that gives it the special name? So the Mishnah Berurah tells us, well, we all know that what happened on this Shabbos was really not so much Shabbos, but it was really the 10th day of Nisan, which in the year we left Mitzrayim happened to have been a Shabbos. Mishnah Berurah tells us the story that the year when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, on the 10th of Nisan, I want you to go take the sheep and prepare them for Korban Pesach. Tie them to the bedposts. This all took place on the 10th day of Nisan, which happened to have been that year Shabbos as well. And as the Mishnah Berurah goes on to tell us, the Mitzrayim saw this and they asked the Jewish people, what are you guys doing? And they answered them, we're going to Shecht, we're going to prepare to ultimately slaughter your God for the sake of our God. And Mishnah Berurah quotes the Medrash Vayishinayim Keos. They were very upset, Al Shashoichten Es Eloyeyem, that we were going to slaughter their God. V'lohi Rashayim Loimel Lahem Dover. But they couldn't have done anything. They basically had to take it, and there was nothing they could do to oppress the Jews for destroying their God. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and they Sha'oz Asir B'Chayish, because that story took place on the 10th day of Teves, which was Shabbos. So from now on and ever in history, this Shabbos is always called Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos before Pesach. Whether or not it happens to be Yud Nisan as well, we always attribute it to the Shabbos. So writes the Mishnah Berurah in understanding this meaning that we all know today called Shabbos HaGadol. Taisus Maseches Shabbos and Daf Pei Zayin Amud Beis, Taisus tells us a slightly different version from the Shemais Rabbah, that what happened was that when the Jewish people took the Korban Pesach, the Bechayrim got together of the Umas Olam, the Mitzrayim, and they asked the Jews, what are you doing? And they said, because I'm telling you, Zevach Pesach LaHashem Sheyarek Bechayrim Mitzrayim. We're doing this because in a few days, all the old firstborn non-Jews, Mitzrayim, are going to be killed. Hoch Weitzel Avisim, so the Mitzrayim went to their parents, the Alparoi, the Vakish Menesh Yishuch Yisrael. The Bechayrim, non-Jews, heard that in a few days they're going to be killed. They went back to their parents. They said, hey, tell Paro, you have to intervene. You have to get involved, and you have to tell the government officials that we have to change policy. We got to empty the Jews. We got to let them go, so we will not ultimately die. Says Tosfos, what happened? V'lo ratzu, they didn't want v'asu b'chayreis milchama. That was some form of an internal war. V'hargu me'en arbe. That's what happened, says Tosfos. Slightly different version than what we're used to as quoted by the Mishnah Berurah. But nonetheless, major miracles took place on the Shabbos prior to Bnei Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. There's some other pshatim found in Rishonim to why exactly the Shabbos is known as Shabbos HaGadol. Some maybe a little bit more practical reasons why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, because we know there's a common custom that on the Shabbos before Pesach, the rabbi gives a drasha, somewhat of a lengthy drasha, so it's a very long davening, it's a long day, Shabbos HaGadol. or in reference to the Gadol, the Rav, who's a Gadol, who comes and gives drushes on the Shabbos, so maybe that's another reason why it's called Shabbos HaGadol, the big, long Shabbos. Others say slightly different. Gadol means because a lot of people used to get together. People who lived in the outside the city towns, smaller villages and towns, who wouldn't come on a regular Shabbos. They'd always come on Shabbos HaGadol. Everyone would come to the big cities to hear the rabbi speak. And therefore it became the, so to say, big Shabbos. These are some of the other pshatim brought down to why it's called Shabbos HaGadol. The Beis David asks a very basic question. He says, we know the Shulchan Aruch's job is to give us halacha psuka, to tell us what to do. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell us stories. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't tell us historical facts. The Shulchan Aruch tells us what we need to do, code of Jewish law. So asks the Beis David, so why does the Shulchan Aruch have to write that the Shabbos before Pesach is called Shabbos HaGadol? What halachic significance does this have to us? Call Shabbos HaGadol, call Shabbos before Pesach, call it whatever you want. But there's no halachic significance in this title, Shabbos HaGadol. So why is it that we find in Shulchan Aruch that the Shulchan Aruch writes that this Shabbos is called Shabbos HaGadol? So the Beis David answers, and I found this also in the name, I believe, of Rabbi Avadia Yosef, that the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us a halacha, that you have to refer and call the Shabbos by Shabbos HaGadol. You greet people on Shabbos, instead of just saying a good Shabbos, you just say a good Shabbos HaGadol. Why? What's the reason? By doing this, you could create discussion, talk, which will enable people to be able to discuss the nisim and the flois that happened on that Shabbos. And by doing so, you'll be able to be marbe the story of Shabbos HaGadol. So therefore, says the Beis David, because the Shulchan Aruch brings it lahalacha, it must be that there is some practical ramifications for us to keep in mind. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch brings down another minhag that we're very familiar with, that there's a minhag to start saying the Haggadah by Mincha on Shabbos HaGadol. We're supposed to say at least part of the Haggadah on this Shabbos. Writes the Mishnah Berurah, what's the reason for this minhag? So he writes, Lefisha Haisa b'Haschalas HaGula. This was the beginning. Shabbos HaGadol was the starting of the major Nisim and Nifloys that were all inclusive in Gulas in Yetzias Mitzrayim. So therefore we should already start now telling the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So writes the Mishnah Berurah, an explanation of the Ramah. The Ber Halacha quotes from the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon writes that that's not the right custom. Why, says the Vilna Gaon? Because we know we say in the Haggadah, Yochel Meresh Chedesh. I would have thought that we should start telling over the stories. You see, the Zayim from Meresh Chedesh, Tamalayim Ve'yimahu. Only when there's Matzah Umarah. Therefore, said the Vilna Gaon, there's no Matzah Umarah on Shabbos Haggadah. It's not Pesach yet. Therefore, no reason to recite the Haggadah. It's pretty clear in Rishonim that many Rishonim had maybe not call it a minhag, but they had definitely a practice that the young children would go hear the open the Haggadahs and read the Haggadahs in Shabbos Haggadah. Unlike today, where the children come to the Seder and they know more than the parents, and they're the ones asking, they're the ones that are doing all the answers, and the parents are the ones with all the questions. It used to be, like the Torah describes, the Higadah Talavindcha. People used to be that the parents would discuss it with the children and educate the children, and the children were supposed to be more question asking than answering. But the children back then didn't know anything. They didn't have the luxury and availability to sit in the yeshiva and be educated by Rabbeim. So Shabbos, they weren't working. They'd sit down, open up the Haggadahs, at least become familiar with the story. This way they'd be able to have what to discuss at the Seder. So that's clearly in Rishonim, that at some point in time there was such a minhag. So it could be when the Ramah is writing that, he just means to say the discontinuation of this meaning. While it could be the Vilna Gaon is not arguing in theory. He's not saying that that's a bad thing. He's just saying that there's no established custom that you have to say it. But the reason very possibly might be attributed to the fact that the children needed to become somewhat familiarized with the Haggadah. The Taz, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch, asks a very basic question that he himself says many people ask. Asks the Taz, if the reason for the miracle of Shabbos HaGadol is because that was the day in history that happened to have been the 10th day of Nisan, and that was the day where we took our sheeps, and that was the day where we had a miracle that the Mitzrayim couldn't do anything, why is it attributed to Shabbos? It should be attributed to Yud Nisan. We should always, for future generations, have a Yom Tov, a special day called Yud Nisan. Why Shabbos HaGadol? So he writes over here for the Moshe Harif, who said an interesting answer. Because he said, because we can't make Yud Chodesh a Yom Tov. Why? Because in the future, Yud Chodesh is going to be a special day, because that's the day when the Yardin split for Klal Yisrael in the times of Yeshua. It would overlap. People wouldn't know, what are we commemorating on this day? That's why we made it Shabbos. Says the Taz, I'll tell you the reason for this. The reason for this minug is because if we're going to celebrate Yud Nisan, it's going to overlap another joyous day. We don't want that to happen. If we want to keep them separate, so we make this one Shabbos and that one is Yud Nisan. He writes at the end, I send this over to my father-in-law, Moiri Vichami, who we know as the Bach, and he enjoyed it very much. And it's interesting, if you look in the Bach says over this pshat, he says, I heard such a pshat. His exact wording is, he says, I accepted such a pshat. He accepted it from his son-in-law, but nonetheless, the Bach seems to accept the pshat that his father-in-law says over from Rav Moshe Harif, that the reason why we celebrate the Yom Tov specifically on Shabbos, as opposed to Yud Nisan, is not to confuse the two. The Bach himself then goes on to say an interesting idea about Klal Yisrael at that time in history. He writes, what was the big chiddush that the Mitzrayim had to, you know, their teeth were cracking and they were upset? Asks the Bach, this wasn't the first time Jewish people were eating sheep. All day long, if they wanted to eat something, they shechted a sheep. Why was this such a big deal? So he writes, says the Bach, the nearest Yisrael deinu leMitzrayim shemitzah Hashem aleinu l'shachter lemata ki b'zeh yishchoid gam lemala. This was a statement. This wasn't just a way of eating. This was a statement to the Mitzrayim that we're taking your God and we're saying He doesn't exist. B'zeh al shachter es aloheim the esmar begam aloheim lemala v'oid ma'ashma es aloheim. What their gods? Sheyisrael. Says the Bach, ki rubam sheyisrael avdu avodah zarah. Majority of the Jewish people at the time of living Mitzrayim, writes the Bach, were avdei avodah zarah. Quotes Mechilta. Says in the pasuk, mishchu yedeichem, schlep your hands, drag your hands. Says the Mechilta, me avodah zarah. Ukhulachem tzayin shel mitzvah. It's basically remove yourself from the tzayin, from the sheep of avodah zarah, and instead attach yourself to sheep of mitzvah of a carbon pesach. This is what bothered the Mitzrayim so much. Till now, you guys were with us. You worshipped, we worshipped, we were all together. Unbelievable statement from the Bach, that at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jewish people themselves were also struggling with the temptation for Avodah Zarah, and they were also having issues mastering that challenge. Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden and Marek Tzia, and a similar pshat is brought down in the Levush, a whole new understanding of what is special about Shabbos HaGadol. Writes Rabbi Yaakov Emden in his Sefer Marek Tzia, that what is special about Shabbos HaGadol, why is it attributed to the Shabbos? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because it only came about because of Shabbos. Why? Says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, because if this would have happened, if Yud Nisan would have been on the calendar a weekday, none of this miracle or discussion would have even played out. Why? Because if Yaakov Emden says, the only reason why the Mitzrayim realized something was up was because it was Shabbos. And the Jews were taking animals, which are generally muktzah. The Jews were tying animals. They were making ksharim, which is normally usher. Says Yaakov Emden, it's simple, it's given to him, although it's, you have to know he knows this, that the Jews, although they didn't yet have the mitzvah Shabbos, that didn't come until they were in Mara, after they left Mitzrayim, writes to Yaakov Emden, it's pashut to them that the Jews were keeping Shabbos. And therefore the Mitzrayim knew you would never find a Jew tying a knot on Shabbos. You would never find a Jew schlepping an animal. So the Mitzrayim saw these abnormal behaviors right away. Something came up in their head that something is off. This is not normal. Then they investigated and they found out what was this all about. Therefore, says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, it comes out that the entire miracle, the greatness of this event is all attributed, all goes back to the fact that it was Shabbos. Therefore, says Yaakov Emden, that's why we commemorate it on Shabbos, as opposed to Yud Nisan, because this is actually a miracle that is all because of Shabbos. Because of the Shmir Shabbos that the Jewish people had on this Shabbos, it led to the great nisim of what we're referring to as Shabbos HaGadol. So writes Reb Yaakov Emden. Reb Moshe Feinstein in his Sefer Darish Moshe explains another understanding to why is it that the Shabbos is attributed, why is this Shabbos the day we commemorate this great miracle? So Reb Moshe explains there are two types of people in the world. There's a person who believes in the existence of a God. There is a Bairi Alma. They don't believe in a Big Bang theory. They don't believe in other ideas. They believe that someone created the world. But there's no one running the world. There's a Bairi, but there's no manhig, Reb Moshe's words are. There's someone who created the world, and then he led it to what we'll call nature. He left it to Teva, but there's no one actively running and controlling the world. That's a Bairi without a manhig. Says Reb Moshe, Shabbos is the realization that there's a Bairi. Shabbos is what teaches us that there's something, some koyach that created the world. That's the godless of Shabbos. Says Rav Moshe, if you're going to be koifer in that idea, that's why Hamechal Shabbos b'fahes is ki'ilu is ka'akum, is like a goy, because you're a koifer in Maisa Bereshis. Even if you agree, says Rav Moshe, that there's a manig, that there's someone running the show, but if you don't agree that someone created the world, a boire, that's a kfira. Says Rav Moshe, that was Paray's downfall. Paray believed that he knew good and well that Hashem is running the world, but he didn't believe that Hashem created the world. Paray had the backwards logic. He believed in a manig, he didn't believe in a boire. Shabbos is where we as Jews, we live this message of Hashem is the boire. When we stop every Shabbos and we don't do malach and we don't work and we don't do things that are prohibited, we say to ourselves, because Hashem created this world and He rested on Shabbos, we rest on Shabbos. These are two very, very important lessons in Klal Yisrael's existence in this world, that there's a Boire and a Manik. Not only did Hashem create the world, Hashem runs the world. And we'll talk hopefully more tonight about the fact that not only does Hashem run the world, Hashem is involved in every detail of the running of this world. And that's something very important for us as Jews have to realize, internalize, remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, didn't just leave it up to nature. He then is involved in the manhig, the running, the leading of the world as well. The Nesiv HaShalem gave a special shmuz, his yeshiva, in the year 1972. And he spoke about gatherings. He said, whenever you have a gathering, people come together for hisayrus, people come together to hear a shir, to hear a shmuz, to be motivated, to be inspired. He says, everyone takes something different out of it. Some people get inspired for a minute, some people get a nap, some people get a joke and a laugh, and some people walk away with full inspiration. Says the Salon Rebbe, it's the same thing with Shabbos. Some people look at a Shabbos, and they get one thing out of Shabbos. They get a day of break from work, no stress, eat and sleep. That's Shabbos. Other people look at a Shabbos and find spirituality. I have more time to learn. I can daven slower. I can focus on my avodas Hashem. That's what Shabbos is. Anytime you have a day like that, like Shabbos, it's really a question of how I'm going to use this day for its original intent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, maybe that's a pshat why there's always a Shabbos before Pesach. Pesach, the Yom Tov of Pesach, is the time where we're really going to tap in to miracles of miracles and unbelievable things. But what am I going to take out of the Pesach? Am I going to take out of the Pesach that, again, it's 7 days I don't have to work? Or 7 days I can't eat pizza and 7 days I can't do this? Is that all that I'm going to take out of it? I'm going to take out of something more deep or more spiritual. Maybe that's why there's always a Shabbos before the Pesach. Because that's what we do with Shabbos. We look at something like Shabbos and we say, what am I going to take out of this? Am I going to make this all physical? Am I going to make it all about myself, or I'm going to make it spiritual? Maybe that's another pshat we can answer to why there's always a Shabbos before Pesach, the significance of a Shabbos, to allow us to properly connect to what the Yom Tov brings, to ensure that we are tapping in, so to say, to what the Yom Tov is about, and this way we're really preparing ourselves for the Yom Tov of Pesach. I'd like to spend some time now discussing a little bit about the Magid. Just a few minutes discussing some of the lessons, some of the themes I think that run very strongly through the entire Magid, really through the entire Yom Tov of Pesach. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvahs and Mitzvah Kuf Nun Zayin, the Rambam writes something very important. And I believe this should be running through our mind throughout the entire Seder. The Rambam writes the following. The Rambam says, what are we supposed to be doing when we talk about Sipriyatis Mitzrayim? Writes the Rambam, Manaseh Mitzriyim Lonu. We're supposed to be remembering, what did they do to us? What does it mean that we were avodim to Paray? How did they punish us? How did they pain us? What did they do to us? Umapiroin osa HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehem. And what was the payback? A payback is only as enjoyable if you realize what the suffering was. And Chazal tell us, anyone who partakes in the Churban will merit to see the Nechama. If we don't dig deep and think about and internalize how the Jews suffered in Mitzrayim, it doesn't really have the same impact when we talk about the Nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Makos and Kriyas Yam Suf. It's cheapening the experience. If we want to have a complete appreciation for the miracles, we must first go and understand what it was like to be a Jew in Mitzrayim. And it's not fair always, because there's not as much material, so to say, on this. You have to dig in Midrashim. There's some unbelievable Midrashim that discuss what it was like in the amounts of deaths and the blood flowing and the evil and sadistic behavior of the Mitzrayim. But I believe the Rambam is telling us that this is as important as any other part of the Seder. We have to really try to tap in and not lose sight of that idea that we're trying to remember the suffering of the Jewish people. It's interesting, amongst many Holocaust survivors who normally do not open up about those horrible, horrific years that they experienced under the Nazis, the one time a year many of them do open up, or have opened up, is Leil Seder. That's a time when people feel that they can open up about their suffering and their Baruch Hashem Geula. Because that's part of what Leil Pesach is about. It's not just the good. We have to first go and relive the bad. When we relive the bad and the pain and the suffering and the sorrow, we then appreciate the Peroim, the payment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to the Mitzrayim. That part, says the Rambam, of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of us on Leil Pesach, with the specific, unique mitzvah of Sipriyatis Mitzrayim b'Leil Pesach. The Haflah points out that the Torah gives us very specific directions about this mitzvah. It says, L'man tisaper b'aznei b'ncho ben b'ncho. This story of Sipriyatis Mitzrayim is not supposed to be a generational story. One generation. It needs to be passed down from grandfather, from father to a son, to the next generation. We continuously have to be educating the next generation. More information, more stories. Don't forget what happened. What a very important theory that we need to keep in mind over here, that we have to continuously relive Mitzrayim. We can't just say, we talked enough about it. Everyone knows. No, not everyone knows. Let's keep on talking about it. People that are very into certain causes, they never stop talking about their cause. They're always talking about their organization, their cause, what they believe in. When you really believe in something so strongly, you can't stop talking about it. You talk about it, and your family talks about it, and your neighbors talk about it, and your grandkids talk about it. That's Sipriyatis Mitzrayim. Everyone should be talking about it. I'm passing it over to you, and I'm going to tell you the stories that you heard already. I'm going to tell it to you because I care, and it means something to me, and I want you to meet it, and it should mean something to you as well. We find in the Haggadah, in the beginning of the Haggadah, we'll start from Avodah Meyinu. Avodah Meyinu seems to be, according to most Rishonim, the answer to the Manish Tana. Avodah Meyinu is the response that we're given to the question of why is tonight so different, so strange. The answer is because of Avodah Meyinu, the Parei B'Mitzrayim. Rabbi Soloveitchik is quoted in Arei Kedem as pointing out something very interesting, and I believe this is possibly why this is one of the first pieces we start the Seder with. Rabbi Soloveitchik asked, why is it that we refer to it as Avodim Hayinu L'Parei B'Mitzrayim? It should have said, Avdei Parei Hayinu B'Mitzrayim. We were the slaves of Parei. What does it mean, Avodim Hayinu? We were slaves to Parei B'Mitzrayim. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik that this piece of Haggadah, that's really a pasuk, is teaching us that although we were physically avodim to Parei, in our hearts and in our souls, we never gave up that we're not really avodim to Parei. Avodim Hayinu, we were slaves. Yeah, that was our title. That was our status. But that wasn't in our heart. Avde Paro is how you look at yourself, how you feel. Says Rav Soloveitchik, when the Pasuk talks about the Mitzrayim, it calls them Avde Paro. That's where they lived. They believed that they were Avde Paro. That was their essence. That was their soul. They were slaves to Paro. Says Rav Soloveitchik, that's not what we were in Mitzrayim. We were Avadim. Yeah, that was our reality. We're not denying it. We weren't free people. We didn't have rights. But we weren't Avodim Avdei Paroi. That's not how we perceived ourselves. We believed and we felt, says Rav Soloveitchik, that we are not going to be here forever. There was no Yeyosh. We did not give up. Quotes the Medrash. The Medrash says that on Shabbos, they used to read Megillos, used to read stories of inspiration and hope of the ultimate Geula. Klal Yisrael never gave up. They were in a terrible place, but there was no desperation. There was no yeyosh. There was no complete giving up of hope. And that's why it's referred to as Avodim Hayu. Yeah, we were slaves to Paro. Yeah, he was the dictator, but we were not Avdei Paro. What an important lesson I think it is, even when we're going to be discussing the bad times. And as we mentioned earlier, it's important to discuss the bad times. But keep this lesson in mind, that through the bad, there's never despair of an ultimate Yeshua. We as Jews suffer, as a nation, as individuals, as communities, and as families. But we never despair. We don't give up hope that there's going to be a Yeshua. Whether on a personal level or on a communal level. Whether today, tomorrow, or many years later. That's the lesson of those words, Avdei Paroi versus Avadim Hayinu LeParoi. And we read it right in the beginning. Right when we're going to read about all the tzaris and the suffering and the anguish and the pain. It's a very important lesson for us to remember. Through the suffering, we're still Avadim Hayinu. We're not Avdei Paroi. We believe and we hope and we know that we're eventually going to get out. Says Rav Soloveitchik, part of the mitzvah of Sibitzis Mitzrayim is to have feelings. It's not just words. The mitzvah is not sufficient just to recite the words and tell the stories. You got to feel it. If you look at Rishonim, many Rishonim, the Ritva writes that we have to say Sibitzis Mitzrayim besimcha. Be happy. It's a feeling. Right to salvation. If this is so, we can answer a very basic question that should bother everyone as they sit at their Seder table in Mirtz Hashem a little bit more than a week from now. Why is it that we don't have a special bracha on the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim Balel Pesach? We know that on any given night, we have a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema, and that includes leaving Mitzrayim. We discussed leaving Mitzrayim. But we know there's a specific mitzvah on Leil Tezvav. The night of Pesach, we have an extra mitzvah to talk about Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. Asks many Rishonim and many Achronim, why is there no specific bracha on this mitzvah? Says of salvation, because a mitzvah that you need your heart to do, you don't make a bracha on. Mitzvahs that are actions, you can make a bracha. A mitzvah which is dependent upon feeling in your heart, such a bracha, such a mitzvah does not get a bracha. Says of Soloveitchik, that's what CBC's Mitzrayim is. It's not merely talking historical information, relaying a historical event. It's a feeling. You have to enjoy it. You have to be excited about it. The Zohar writes, you're supposed to do the Haggadah b'simcha. It's a whole different experience. When someone tells over a story, that's something that happened to them in their private life, they say it over with such excitement. And you see it in their eyes and you feel it. That's what it's supposed to be, Sibur Mitzrayim. That same excitement, that same happiness when we tell over the stories of what happened to our ancestors in Mitzrayim. And in the first piece of Avodim Hayinu, we're answering back to why is tonight different. We tell them the whole story. We were Avodim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out. And therefore, therefore, even though all those that are very knowledgeable, very smart, very intelligent, very old, those who know all of Torah, nonetheless, mitzvah aleinu l'sapi b'yitzias Mitzrayim. We all inclusively have a mitzvah to talk over and to discuss Sibur Yetzias Mitzrayim. This statement over here is a very important lesson. That this story is not for children. It's not for the ignorant. It's not for the non-knowledgeable. This is for everyone. This is not for those that are wealthy, for those that are poor, for those that are successful, for those that are not. This is an across-the-board obligation for all types of Jews, regardless of one's background, one's knowledge, every single Jew has to reflect, has to think about and actively discuss what happened the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim. I always found interesting from all of these people, I understand somewhat the Chachamim. Chachamim will call someone who's intellectual, possibly. Someone who's smart. Someone who's a Navin. Also, he's able to understand something from something else. Zekanim. Someone who's old will say, I know the story already. I lived through miracles. I know the story. But what's Kulanu Yoidim Asat Torah? Why would I think someone who knows all of Torah doesn't have to talk about Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? So I believe the answer is that we know that the purpose of why we learn Torah, besides for the mitzvah of Limud HaTorah, it's to bring a person to a newfound relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I would have thought that someone who knows all of Torah, he mastered that already. He gets it. He knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. He knows Hashem is amazing. He knows it. Why does he have to sit here talking about the story? Let him go learn a piece of Gemara. Says the Baal God, that's not sufficient. You know all of Torah, yes. And you mastered Torah. And you mastered, so to say, the purpose, understanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu's role in the world, nonetheless you also have a mitzvah of the Sabi B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. Very important for us to realize that this is a mitzvah where every single Jew, no matter what, will be partaking the exact same mitzvah in the same way, being Marbe L'Sabi B'Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it ends off, Marbe L'Sabi B'Yetzias Mitzrayim, HaRezeh Mishubach, he is praised, or praiseworthy. The next piece, we find a story with Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Yeshua, Rebbe Lozman ben Azayin, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Tarfin, a bunch of very chashuv people. Shayim Esuvim b'Bnei Brak. They were in B'nei Brak. Why is it important for us to know where the story took place? And if they weren't in B'nei Brak, the story is still the same story. What's the story? They spent the entire night discussing the miracles of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Actually, both Tamidim v'omu lehem until the Tamidim came and said to them, Rabbi say, Higi Zman Kriya Shema Shal Shachris. Shine sight, as we say. It's time up. We got to say Kriya Shema Shal Shachris. What is the significance? What is the purpose of this story? Simply speaking, that the purpose of this story, we shame to speak this out already, the purpose of the story is to teach us two chidushim. It's to back up what we said in the previous statement. First of all, it backs up the idea of Kulonu Chachamim. Obviously, these people were all very knowledgeable. They were Chachamim, they were Yadim HaSatayr, and they still spent the whole night, instead of learning Gemara, they spent the whole night talking about Sibi Yetzias Mitzrayim. Secondly, it backs up the importance of being Marbe. We said, V'chol HaMarbe, Rezim Shubach. So you see, the significance, the importance of speaking the entire night about Sibi Yetzias Mitzrayim. The question that many ask is, why is it important for us to know the storyline? Why is it for us to know where they were? Secondly, if the mitzvah is to speak about Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim B'Leil Tezvav, once the night is over, there's no more mitzvah. Why would you continue doing it? If I sit in a sukkah for more days, I don't get more schar. Why is over here, is it any different? Says the Achrayim, because over here you're showing that it's important to you. You're not just doing it because I have to. When a person goes beyond the allotted time for something, that's because he's enjoying himself. When a person is going beyond the time given to him for something fun, it's because he's having fun and he doesn't want to stop. And he's not looking at the clock. We have a statement, time flies when you're having fun. That's exactly what was going on over here. These Tanaim loved it. They were loving every minute of it. They weren't saying, ach, is it over yet? They lived it, they loved it. No wonder they're going to keep on going. They weren't doing it just to say the next morning that I stayed up later than you did. They were having a great time. To them, this is what their enjoyment was. They didn't view it as obligations. I have to do this and this. I want to do this. I'm enjoying. I'm having a great time. I want to keep on going. What an important lesson of how to approach Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not a burden. It's not a bother. I'm enjoying. I'm having fun. So to say, I'm getting a geschmack out of the stories and talking and being married with Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. My Rebbe Reb Kalman Epstein used to say over about his father, Reb Zelig, Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva, who used to stay, he said he used to stay up many nights learning through the night. He said it wasn't because he got up the morning before and said, you know what, I'm going to stay up all night tonight, and I'm going to have prep myself to stay up all night. He was learning, and it was the middle of the sugya, and he couldn't go to sleep. He was enjoying himself. He was going through a geshmaka sugya, learning it properly, and he just couldn't go to sleep. That's the attitude. The attitude is they didn't want to go to sleep. They were enjoying what they were doing. They were being marbe b'sibi yitzis mitzrayim. That's the lesson of being unrestricted. I'm not bound by time because what I'm doing is so exciting, what I'm doing is so fun, I don't want to stop. Says the Chassam Sofer, why is it so important for us to mention the storyline over here, Shai Mesume B'nei Brak? Says the Chassam Sofer, because the storyline takes place right after Chorban, right after the Galus. And the godless over here is that even after the Galus, they could still, while in Galus, while after Churban, they're still able to put aside all of that and be able to see and be able to experience Sibiyus Mitzrayim. Although we're in pain, although things are not perfect, we don't have a base of Mikdash, we don't see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's complete chesed to us on an openly daily basis. We see bad, we see evil, we see sadness. But still, on tonight, I'm going to look at only good. That was the godless, says the Chassam Sofer. That on a night like this, I'm going to say no. I'm going to put aside all the questions I have and all the issues that I have. And I'm going to say only speak about Nisim and the Flois and the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Nesivus explains, what were they doing the whole night? What were they talking about? So he says what they were talking about was how all the bad, or so to say, looks bad in history, really turned out to be hidden secret brachas. That's what they were doing the whole night. That's part of the miracle of Sibiyus Mitzrayim. How it looks so bad and so dark and so depressing is not really as bad as it looks when you believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan. Major vision. You see that these things are not as scary, not as bad as they look. That's what they were doing the whole night, trying to tap into that realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is ultimately good. Sometimes we don't understand it, but everything really turns out to be for our benefit. Zalig Epstein, Rosh Yeshiva, once mentioned a very basic question. He gave this over in a shmuz once before Pesach. And he asked the following question. The Aseret HaDibros, Ten Commandments. What is the first of the great Ten Commandments, the Aseret HaDibros, that we all know? Is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Yetzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I am Hashem who took you out of Mitzrayim. Asked Reb Zelig, why is that the first one? If I would have written the Aseret HaDibros, it would have been Anochi Hashem Elokecha that created this world and created you. So you better listen to what I have to say. That's the way we would have written the Aseret HaDibros. Why is Yitzis Mitzrayim the first of the Aseret HaDibros? What is so significant that that's the first thing Klal Yisrael has to hear and have to remember, the Yitzis Mitzrayim? Explained to Bzelig, because the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a world does not mean that we now have a personal relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As we mentioned from Rav Moshe, there's two things, there's a Bayre and a Manik. Very nice, Hashem created the world, but maybe He's not Manhig the world. Maybe He's not running the world. Or maybe He's not running my life on an individual level. Yeah, general running of the world. Can you imagine you have a big company and there's thousands of people working? Do you think the CEO has a direct connection to one of the people who work in the janitorial departments? He feels no connection. So maybe I would have the same idea with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running the world, I believe it. But it has nothing to do with me. I'm just, you know, background noise. Because Baruch Hu's taking care of everyone else, and I somehow get mixed into the equation. Said Reb Zelig, that's not the pshat. The pshat Yitzis Mitzrayim is that Kosh Baruch Hu's completely running the world. Ein oid milvadoi. There is no one else besides Kosh Baruch Hu who makes things happen. That's what we learned at Yitzis Mitzrayim. There's no teva. There's no mazolois. There's ein oid milvadoi, as Aruch HaShulchan points out in Siman Tov Chav Tes. This was the lesson of Pesach, that Kosh Baruch Hu is and is the only source, kayach, in this world that controls what is going on. This is perhaps why in the Haggadah there's no mention of Moshe Rabbeinu by name. Because we don't want to lose sight of our relationship. Part of the Chet Ha'egel was Klal Yisrael got caught up with the role of Moshe Rabbeinu in the entire scheme of things. And when Moshe Rabbeinu was removed, we were lost. We have to realize it's us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe Rabbeinu was our helper. But the relationship ultimately is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is not mentioned in our, Moshe Rabbeinu's name is not mentioned in our Haggadah, for us to realize, for us to build a meaningful and really a realistic relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the involvement of our own pratiyus, our own individual lives. Everything that happens in my life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. Not just the greater Jewish community, the greater America, greater Eretz Yisrael, my life, little old me in my own house. Everything that is happening, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing specifically, detailed for just me. Me and my family. That's what Pesach is supposed to conjure up in our minds when we think about Yetzias Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only koyach that we think about in the world. We find something unique about the mitzvah of Sibi Yetzias Mitzrayim. We find that it's a mitzvah twice a day. We say Kriya Shema twice a day, once in the morning and once in the evening. We don't find this by other mitzvahs. We don't wear tefillin twice a day. Why is it that we have to say Sibi Yetzias Mitzrayim twice a day? So I believe, based on what we're saying now, it makes a lot of sense. What is Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. So when we get up in the morning before we start our day, and we have no idea what the day is going to bring, will it be good? Will it be bad? Will I lose a lot of money? Make a lot of money? Who will I meet? What I will meet? Who's blowing up what? We live in such scary times. Never know what tomorrow is going to bring. So before I start my day, I recite Kriya Shema. And what's Kriya Shema? Sipi Yetzias Mitzrayim. And I internalize the lesson of Yetzias Mitzrayim that I believe Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. And Ein Oid Milvadoi, there's nothing else besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's how I start my day. And when a person returns at the end of a day, and the day was exciting, and there was good things, and there was bad things, he repeats the Kriya Shema, and repeats the same message to himself. Ein Oid Milvadoi. Hashem is running the world. And if today was good, that's because Hashem wants it to be good. And if today was horrific and terrible, and I lost a lot of money, and sadness, that's because Hashem wants that to happen. That's perhaps why we find this mitzvah is twice a day. To remember how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the world. By doing so, we're able to focus on what the day is going to bring and what the day did bring at the end of the day. We mentioned earlier that there is a line in the Haggadah, Yochum Mirish Chodesh Tamad Loimer B'Yom Ahu. I would have thought that we should start talking about CBC Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh. That's why it says the Pasuk B'Yom Ahu. Many people ask the question, why exactly would one have thought to start saying CBC Mitzrayim from Rosh Chodesh? So when I was a single boy at home, I used to say this line over to my mother. I don't think she appreciated it then, but now that I make my own Pesach, I definitely can understand why she didn't appreciate it. I used to say, the reason why you think you could start reading from Rosh Chodesh is because in many of our homes, we're already Pesach, starting from Rosh Chodesh, at least a week before. So you feel like it's Pesach. You can't eat chametz, and everything is kasher, then everything is Pesach mode. So you think it's already Pesach. Obviously we know that it's not a simple thing to put together a Pesach, and you do need to prep for it properly. So why exactly would one think that Yochum or Rosh Chodesh? The answer is because, as the Rosh Hashanah points out, that the realization of these miracles started from Rosh Chodesh. The whole month of Nisan is a special month. It's not just, it didn't just start in the beginning of Yud Nisan. The whole Chodesh, when Klal Yisrael, when the mazel, when the God, their luck, so to say, was the sheep, and we disproved it by killing it, we showed them that Ein Oid Milvadoi. That lesson started already from Rosh Chodesh, writes the Aruch HaShulchan. Therefore, one would have thought that you can fulfill the mitzvah of CBC's Mitzrayim already starting from Rosh Chodesh. We then find with Rebbe Eliezer, Elozim and Azariah, about the significance of talking about Tzibis Mitzrayim fact says in the pasuk, the matiskus im seischem esayim kol yimechayecha, yimechayecha yomim, kol yimechayecha leilos, v'chomayim yimechayecha oil mazer, kol yimechayecha lohavi lemois hamashiach. What's the pshat lohavi lemois hamashiach? I think the simple answer is that one would have thought that once Mashiach comes, the miracles of Sibitz and Mitzrayim will no longer be viewed as such amazing and unbelievable miracles. One would have thought there's no longer such an obligation, a need to discuss the miracles. Nonetheless, that even then we still have an obligation to discuss the miracles of Sibitz and Mitzrayim. And then we open up Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu Baruch Shenasan Torah Le'amo Yisrael. What is this line supposed to be telling us? So the Mefarshim suggests that this line is telling us that all of the miracles and all of the great things that happened in Mitzrayim and all the downfall of the Mitzrayim were all amazing and special. But there was one purpose for all of it. It was to get the Torah. And that's what it's all about. The greatness of Klal Yisrael, and why we're the Am HaNivchar, and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a special relationship with us, is all about the Torah. And our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reflected by our learning of the Torah, by our connection to the Torah, and by the value that we have to the Torah. That is the Yisoid of it all. We didn't leave Mitzrayim just to be free. So we won't be oppressed by a paro and we can do what we want when we want. That was not the purpose. And that's why it's such an important lesson towards the beginning part of Magid. When we talk about freedom, what does freedom really mean? Freedom doesn't mean do what we want, how we want. Freedom means that now we can properly serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was all about the Torah. Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu Baruch Shenosan Torah La'amo Yisrael. We're appreciating that all the miracles and all the greatnesses were just to get us to the point where we can have a Torah and we can learn the Torah. That's one of the focal points of Sibitzis Mitzrayim, is the Chashivas HaTorah. Why we left Mitzrayim to get to Kabbalah HaTorah. This is really the beginning. Yitzis Mitzrayim was the first step in our journey to getting the Torah, to becoming the special nation Klal Yisrael. And if we lose sight on why we left Mitzrayim, we're really cheapening the experience. And that's why the Baal HaGadol tells us over here, Baruch HaMokim Baruch Hu, thank you HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us the Torah. Because that's what it was all about. That was the purpose of why we left Mitzrayim. Wishing everyone a wonderful Yom Tov and a meaningful Pesach. And keeping in mind these ideas of throughout the entire Magid, this realization as the Rambam writes to us, remembering the Tzaras and appreciating the Peronius that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the Mitzrayim. And we believe, B'Lev Shalom, that as we say at the end of the Haggadah, Shvecha Moscha L'Hagoyim, that we believe, as Chazal tell us, B'Nisim Asidim Ligol, we believe the ultimate Geula will happen in Nisan. Mr. Hashem, we should all be Zeicha to see that this Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should take us out from the last and final Golos. Mr. Hashem, we should all be Zeicha together this year, B'Mehera, to be part of the ultimate Geula.